Shall we turn into our Bibles to John chapter 15? And we are going to read from verse 16 onwards. And we will read to chapter 16 and verse 1. John chapter 15 from verse 16 onward. And can I inconvenience you in the way that we read the Bible in our church in India? Would you be kindly upstanding on your feet in honor of the reading of God's Word? And I'll read from verse 15. As I look at verse 15, I want to read verse 15 also. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me, hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. I have said these things to you to keep you from falling away. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. Shall we pray? Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your written word. And once again, we come before your open words. And we want to open our mind and open our lives. And once again, Master Teacher, speak to us. Speak to our needs. Challenge us once again, Lord, with your word. Inspire us, rebuke us, exhort us. Do not leave us the way that we came. We do not want this just to be one of those routine Sunday evening services, but we want it a time when you have spoken and your voice has been clearly heard among us through your word. Help us, Master. Once again, thank you. Speak from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of my sermon this evening to you is Friends of Jesus, Unfriended by the World. You know, in the Facebook parlance, when we don't like somebody, and we say, you are no more my friend, and unfriend. okay? Then we don't want to hear from them anymore. But the interesting thing is this, that Jesus in the same chapter, and very especially the verse where we began, verse 15, he says to his disciples that I no more call you servants, but I call you friends. He is taking the metaphor of relationship forward from where he began at the beginning of chapter 15 when he said, I am the vine and you are the branches. He does not come and say to us here that now I'm speaking to my branches. No, he says, I am speaking to you now as friends. He has told us that he is the vine in this chapter. And he says, you are the branches. That means I have cut your roots, your ethnic roots, your cultural roots, your roots to whatever and in whatever you found your identity. Now you are drawing your life from me. And my roots go down deep into God. Do you understand how vital, important these teachings of the Lord is in John's Gospel? He says, I am the vine. You are drawing your life sap from me now. You are not drawing your identity from your job, from your family, from your particular church denomination. You are not drawing meaning of life from the size of house or the size of car that you drive, or from your qualification or your career or your work. But you are drawing it from me. Do you know what he's saying to us here and preparing us? In this word, the Lord is preparing us for suffering, for the hatred of the world. And that's why I read you that first verse from chapter 16. He says, I have said these things to you to keep you from falling away. I am saying these things to you so that you may not get discouraged when the opposition comes. Do you know when people come and talk about suffering for the sake of Christ, those people look very attractive. They look very courageous. They look very bold. And we like to hear the stories of how the church has persevered under persecution. But this evening, instead of talking of the persecution stories, which I can take you to a lot of them, and to the lot of experiences of our team in the last year, and in particular in the last 3 years, I can tell you quite a few stories. And you can go back this evening home with your heads buzzing, saying, wow, the church in India is really persevering. But family of God, I want to take you back into God's Word, and I want to look with you in this passage, and we want to see why, as what is the cause of the hatred of the world towards the church. In the history of the church, the persecution of it is normal. And I say to people, what kind of compromises are you making that you are not suffering? Do you know in India today, if you are running a social program, if you are feeding the poor in the name of Christ, educating the poor in the name of Christ, doing poverty alleviation programs in the name of Christ, you will not be bothered. But when you take the name of Jesus and say to the people, that is the way to God, then the problem begins. As long as we don't witness, we are all right. And do you know, in this passage, I want to draw three things out of this passage to help you understand what causes this angst in the people against the church. In our text today, Jesus tells us that our friendship with Him will result in the hatred of the world towards us. Whatever happens, whichever country you are in, and whatever culture you are in, friendship with Jesus will always cause a hatred in the hearts of people. Those who are friended by Jesus will be unfriended by the world. It will happen. It has to happen. By its very nature of who we are, that will happen. This is not a pleasant thought, because all of us, our default mode is what? Our default mode is to belong. We are willing to do anything to belong. Our default mode is not to stick out as a sore thumb. Our default mode is that I want to just merge with everyone. We want some homogeneity with people. What the scripture here basically says is that if we have the word of Christ in the center of our lives, if the DNA of God has been transferred at the very base of our lives, our whole nature is changed. This is not some kind of an ecstatic experience with Jesus, but this is a whole change of nature. It's a change of our DNA. And this will cause hatred from the world. Jesus says, when you are grafted in the vine, a radical change happens to you. The very life of heaven now enters into your life. And the result is now that your relationship to the world and to anyone else who is an unbeliever will be altered. I am the vine. You are the branches. I am taking you to a different level. That is what the Lord is saying to us here. There will be all sorts of troubles and ordeals and difficulties. But your approach to life, your approach to work, your approach to debt, your approach to security, your approach to duty, your approach to identity, your approach to everything will be altered because of relationship with Me. Jesus says, this is a radical change that is happening in your life. And do you know, many a times the persecution, we don't pray for it, but it is a good thing, because as I said, superficiality is taken away. And you know it is serious. If I have to follow the Lord, and it may mean that I will lose my life, you will think twice. You will think 10 times. It is not the icing on the cake. This is not the cherry on the cake that looks very nice. I'm a good person and then I have Jesus. No, this is about life and death. And that's why it is very important to go and examine our faith. What is it that causes this? There is a profound difference between Christians and people who do not have an experience of salvation. And therefore the Lord warns us and said, I have said these things to you so that you may not get discouraged. You may not fall away when the opposition comes. Verse 18 says, if the world hates you, know that it hated Me before it hated you. What a consolation. When the world hates you, to say that, of course, what did we expect? Of course the world is going to hate us. And Jesus gives us three reasons. And the first reason here is, it has to do with the teaching of Jesus, what He has taught us. Verse 20 says, if they kept my word, they will also keep yours. I'm reading from the ESV. What does it mean? It says, if they kept means if they listened to me, my words, that means my teaching, they will also listen to you. You know, Jesus' teaching was authoritative. Jesus' teaching was not ambiguous. It was very clear. And 25 times in the gospel, he uses the words, truly, truly, I say to you. That means amen and amen, I say to you. What I am saying is the fact and it will come about. What I have to say to you is the truth. And Jesus says to us in John chapter 10 and verse 36, I am the Son of God. I am the Son of God. He does not say, I will be Son of God or I think I am the Son of God. He says, I am the Son of God. This truth of Jesus is not the cultural articulations we are used to in our different cultures. The truth of Jesus, family of God, is the ultimate truth. The truth of God is from outside our cultures. It is from outside time and space. Therefore, it judges the world. It judges how you feel about things. What should be our response to it? Our response to it is that we must listen to it. We must obey it. We must submit to it. The world is committed that there is no such thing called ultimate truth. Hinduism says there is no ultimate truth. It all depends on your circumstances. In fact, there is a particular saying in Hinduism. It says, there is nothing good or bad, but your thinking makes it so. So in Hinduism, there is no concept of sin, so there is no need of Savior. What does the Bible say? Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Do you know the real problem we have is? The real problem we have is with the teaching of Jesus. For what he teaches us, if you obey that, that will cause the hatred of the world. Christianity has always said that there is a truth we have. And what is the truth we have? The truth that we have is the Word of God, which is revelation of God from outside this world. That judges this world. That truth does not allow us to operate on the basis of our personal feelings. That makes it clear that we live to serve God. So we will be persecuted here. No matter where you are, the world cannot understand this teaching. Two Christmases ago, I was summoned to the local police station where the local SHO told me that from now on, they will tell us what we are going to preach. And I said, you are not going to tell me anything. You must first go and listen to what is being preached in our church is the Word of God. You cannot shut the voice of God, which comes through His Word. And family, if we obey this, we will be in trouble. So the first problem with the hatred of the world and the persecution against the church is the very teaching of Jesus. Secondly, the world hates you because it cannot own you. That's my second point to you this evening. The world hates us because it cannot own us. And verses 18 and 19, let me read it from the message for you, just for a greater punch in the words in the message. It says, if you find the godless world is hating you, remember it got its start hating me. If you lived on the world's term, the world would love you as one of his own. But since I picked you to live on God's term and no longer on the world's term, the world is going to hate you. Did you pick those words? If you lived on the world's terms, the world would love you as one of his own. The problem is the world will hate believers because they cannot own us. You are not the world's own. The world does not like you because your first identity is what? Family. Your first identity is not Scottish. You may not like me for that. Your first identity is Jesus. Do you realize that? Look in the Word of God. Your first identity is found in Jesus Christ. And then all other identities are secondary. But our primary identity is found in Christ Jesus. My primary identity is not Indian. My primary identity is follower of Jesus, a disciple of Christ. And that is the reason that I am here. And that is the reason you have accepted me to be here this evening. Once again. Because of my primary identity. Imagine if my first identity was Indian. And I'm going to teach you Eastern mysticism this evening. You would not even invite me here. Our primary identity. And that's why we are a body. Because of that. We may come from Africa, we may come from India, we may come from China, we may come from anywhere in the world. Our primary identity as believers is found in Jesus Christ. And the world does not like us because they cannot own us. Because we say our primary identity is in Jesus. The place that we work does not like us because they cannot own us. And because they cannot own us, our promotion is threatened. Beyond our ethnic identities, beyond our work identities, beyond our family identities, is our identity that is in Christ Jesus. The world does not own us. You can't put other things first because you have Jesus first in your life. He is the truth. And do you know what we believe then? We believe there is an ultimate truth, which I just now said, the teaching of Jesus. That puts us in trouble with the world. And then we have this identity that is found in Christ Jesus. And do you know what we believe? That there will be a day when everything is going to be set right. There is going to be a judgment day. And all wrongs will be right that day. God will judge. What is the response of your work colleagues? They say, we don't like you. What is the response when your first identity is in Jesus? Your ethnic group will say, we don't like you. You know why? Because our roots have been cut and we have been grafted in Christ Jesus, who is the vine. Now our life is drawn from that. If the world felt it owned you, if it called you its own, then it could trust you and it could love you. Jesus is saying, you don't know how radically I have changed you. You don't realize your destination has changed. I am the vine. I have cut your roots to all things that defined you earlier. I have cut your roots out of your social class. These things used to define you and give you identity. They no longer give you that identity. These things used to be the things you had to listen to, but no longer, because I am your life. I am the vine really means, and he says, you are the branches. If I paraphrase it, what he is saying is, I am your life. Jesus is our life. The third and final thing is, the world hates you because you witness to the truth. And now we are in a situation anywhere in the world that if you hold the scripture and the scripture values, you will be in trouble. You know why? The world wants that culture should define the Bible. Our feelings should define the Bible. Our preferences should define the Scriptures. Do you know the Scripture defines our feelings? The Scripture defines our culture. The Scripture is the authority in our lives. Therefore, it defines everything in our lives. In India, cultural identity, religion, and nationalism are all fused in one. And then they come upon the church, and the church says, yes, as our national identity, we are Indians, but our spiritual identity is first as Christians. And that puts us into a lot of trouble, and is going to put us into a lot more trouble now. The world hates you because you bear witness. And as I was telling you before in my introduction, if you are doing social work, you will not be persecuted. But if you will bear witness, because you cannot keep your mouth shut, you are all the time telling people about Jesus. And therefore I say there is nobody called a private Christian. It's almost saying, here is perfume, but you can't smell it because there is no smell in it. How can it be perfume and there is no smell in it? If you are a Christian, and maybe now I'm disturbing you, if you are a Christian, you live a life of witness. You live a life of witness. Because the authority in your life is Jesus. Jesus is teaching. The world does not own you. Jesus owns you. So what is going to happen naturally is, where the third point from this text comes from, is that you will bear witness. Verse 27, you also will bear witness. The world continually gets upset with Christians because we say, I know the medicine for the cure of all ills. And what is the medicine? Jesus. My dentist is a very devout Hindu in Delhi. And I have been witnessing to him for the last 5 or 6 years. He loves to talk with me. He comes to our house for his different problems. The week that we were leaving, he came twice to our home. And every time before he leaves, I don't have to say, shall we pray? He says to me, Mr. Shaw, would you please pray? Because when you pray, I feel a lot of peace. I said, you know, he says, your words are powerful. I said, no, that's not a fact. The fact is, Jesus is powerful. And when I pray, you hear Jesus. And he says, do you know you have a problem, Mr. Shaw? I said, what is the problem? He says, the problem is that in every conversation, you make it meaningless by talking about Jesus. He says, if only you keep Jesus away from the conversation, it would be very pleasant and you would be a very, very good man and a popular man because you talk words of great wisdom. But this Jesus thing in the midst of all of this just spoils it. Family of God, isn't that what the world wants from us? That we would keep Jesus away privately somewhere and not talk about it in public. But do you realize that if we obey God's word and if Jesus is the authority in our lives, there is no way that we are not going to gossip the gospel. We have to talk about the gospel. And Jesus prepares us for what we will face as his followers. When it was his hour of greatest need, he was deserted by those closest to him. But in our hour of need, he will come and be with us. You know why? Because he promised, I will be with you till the end of the world. When he said to us, go and make disciples. Do you know when he came into this world to love us, he was put on the cross. When we proclaim him to others, there will be suffering, but there will be an amazing, a sweet fellowship with Jesus. Can I say to you, family of God, will you go and bear witness? Go and bear witness. And you might be saying, after all that you said, family, we have only one identity, Jesus. We have one authority in our lives, his words. And we have one obligation to the world. And do you know what it is? I'm just coming to that, to love the world. How do we love the world? How would you love Scotland? Tell me. How would you love Scotland? How would I love North India? I would love Scotland and I would love North India by taking the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to them. Because that is what they need. And you may think, like my dentist, oh, how irrelevant. How meaningless. Can we keep that out and talk about some other ways we can help and love our people? That is the way that the Word teaches us. My conclusion is, radical conflict comes because of the radical change God has brought in our lives. So the question is, why this has always been so in the history of the church? Why this has always been so in church's history? Why the world treats us like this? Let me give you some reasons and close this evening. The world cannot understand Christians because of love. And you may be saying, what? Because of love. Let's read verse 16 and 17. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Why? Verse 17. So that you will love one another. And then he says in chapter 13 and verse 34, he says, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. The love between Jesus and us is going to create all kinds of alienations with the world, with anybody who has not experienced Jesus' love. The world cannot understand the exclusive claims of Jesus. The last time we were in the World Book Fair, which is an international book fair in Delhi, and we had this big hoarding on which it was written, I am the way, the truth and the life. It was very interesting to see the response of the people to that. People would sneer at it and would say, oh yes, of course the Christians think they are the only one in the world. They are the only one who know God. How can I help it when I look into the scriptures? Isn't that a fact? That God has revealed himself? Either we have to consider the scripture as authority or rubbish. There is no other name given under heaven by which we might be saved. When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth and the life, he says, no one comes to the Father except through me. If you want to know God, you have to come to Jesus. When the world hears that, it says, you are bigoted and you are narrow-minded. How can you be so narrow-minded like this? But to a Christian, that makes perfect sense. If you have experienced the love of Jesus' family, if you have experienced the love of Calvary in your life and in your heart, you know what the love of Jesus means. And for you, it makes perfect sense. And you know, that should create an urgency in your life that you go and tell others as well. Family of God, when you have Christ in your life, you live in progressive conformity in Him. Did you hear this? Progressive conformity with Christ. What does that mean? That means money, comfort, acclaim, status, None of that stuff is important to you anymore. You have a progressive conformity with Jesus, and it gradually loses its grip in your life. You have Christ. And the world thinks you are crazy. When you tell the world that you gave 10% of your money away to the church, they say, what? You are giving away 10% of your money to the church? Isn't that crazy? Family of God, have you compared the price, the weight of the debt of your sin? And then you have realized the size of redemption and salvation and grace that you have received. Your heart has changed. From self-centered, you have become Christ-centered. And salvation has made that possible. His choosing you as His child has made that possible. So, what is 10%? I want to give it all. As soon as somebody who has not experienced Jesus sees you forgiving people, you are doing good to people who have mistreated you, what do they think? They think you are out of your mind. You are crazy. They say you are going to be walked all over. If the world knows that you are doing this, people will think you are weak. But do you know what has happened to us? We have known what the meaning of real life is. From inside, from the perspective of love, Jesus makes perfect sense. The second reason the world does not understand Christians is the statement that I chose you. In the last few weeks, I have had so many conversations, and in particular, two conversations with two sets of parents whose children became Christians in India. And the mother, one of the mothers of this daughter who had become a Christian, she said to me, I do not know what you have done on my child, how you have brainwashed my child. I have said, we have not brainwashed it. I said, when God calls, you cannot say no. And the day God calls you, you will obey as well. And she says, never, that will never happen in my life. I said, there have been several people who have said the same thing in this office. And I've had the joy of baptizing them. She said, me, never. Another father who I was talking to said to us at our dining table, to Gloria and I, that you Christians have hypnotized my son. He speaks a different language. He talks in a different way now. What has happened to him? I'm looking for my son. You have done magic on him. I said, there is no magic. The magic is that he has heard the voice of the Master. And when the Master calls, you will not be able to say no. The world cannot understand that God chooses and intervenes in your life. Do you see? If you have to understand the gospel, go to the prodigal son. You see the father. He does not sit in the porch. He does not wait for the son. The father runs to the son. The father pounces on the son. The father shows aggressive love on his son. He kisses him. He hugs him. Do you know what he is doing? He is enabling repentance out of his son. He empowers him to humble himself. That is what he has done in your and my salvation. I am a Christian today because he found me, because he opened my heart, because he softened my heart. It's completely a gift of God. It has been given to me. And therefore, how can I keep silent then? If all of this has happened, how can I keep silent? It is not sufficient who are saved. It is not the sufficient in life who are saved, but the ones who finally admit they are insufficient. I needed Jesus. It is not what I have achieved that leads to my salvation. In Hinduism, is all that you achieve in life that leads to your salvation. The achievement of good works, the achievement of doing this and doing that, of serving your parents, that's called an achievement that leads to the salvation. No, it is the fact that I have been achieved by God that has led to my salvation. Christ has come and He has died for me. He has lived for me. He has done everything for me. My faith is provided. I did not choose Him. He chose me. Christians are not people who have won, but who have been won by God. The difference between the Christian and the world is not so much in what we believe, but in what we rejoice in. The 70 disciples returned saying to the Lord, "Lord, in your name," what did He say? "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And He said to them, "Do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Do you realize that? Your and my name are written in heaven. And it does not stop there. The scripture says, your names are, I have engraved you in the palm of my hand. Do you understand? Do you realize the love of Jesus in our life? You are saved not because of your faithfulness, but because of Jesus' faithfulness. We have the real perspective on life. We have the real perspective of the riches in life. We have no fear of death, because the resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ, made death, which used to be an executioner, have made death into just being a gardener. For a Christian, death makes us better. It does not make us worse. One of the Christians who was badly beaten and was dying, surrounded by other saints in Delhi, he said with both his hands in the air, he says, "I can see the Master." And his last words were, "I am coming. I am coming." It's almost a race won, a victory. Do you see the perspective our salvation gives to us? Rejoice in this, that your name are written in heaven. Lastly, the world does not understand Christians, as I said to you, because we all the time bear witness to Jesus. Christians realize that this isn't all that is there to our lives. So we don't get upset about money if we lose money. We don't get upset if we are insulted. We don't get upset if we are beaten in public. We don't get upset if we are put in prison. You know why? Because we have the perspective of life. What can happen? What is the extreme thing that can happen to us is that we die. And as I said to you, it will only make us better. A Christian knows that he is a miracle. One day he was hopeless, but now he has got all the hope. And do you know what does that make us? When you look at your salvation, you stop being cynical about this world. And you stop being cynical about others. And you have this absolute faith that if the Lord could save a sinner like me, He can save others as well. Christians, therefore, family, our response, therefore, is that we go out into the world and we testify to the gospel. Would you go this week and would you testify?